I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Okay, so you've been dating this person for a couple years and you've moved in together. And you think you know all of each other's secrets. You know, you're just like, I know everything about them. They know everything about me. You're going through, you have like this attic and you're going through some like stuff. You're like putting some stuff up there and then you see like this cardboard box that's like covered in dust in the corner. And let's say that this is like their family home and that like, they inherited it. And so you're living there with them now. And you go through the stuff and you find these diaries and they're written. And they seem to be the diaries of your partner's parents that lead you to discover. So you just start reading them because you're just like, I mean, it's a mystery. I have to. And they're at work all day. So I'm going to be looking this. And you go through the diaries and you find out that your significant other's parents are siblings. And so you go downstairs and you are just like, what do I do with this knowledge? And you, your partner comes home and you're like, I just have to spill it out. Like, I'm sorry. I looked through the stuff upstairs and I found out like these diaries and like, I just didn't know your parents are siblings. And they're like, you don't understand. And you're like, what? And they're like, that's real person fic. Like I wrote real person fic about my parents being siblings. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
I mean, short answer, you break up with them.
I think you need to find out how old they were when they were.
What?
Wrote it.
Whoa, they kept that's... them. They no.
Someone...
It doesn't.
No,
Patrick, this is the more questions you ask, the more questions you'll have scenario.
It's okay, so they wrote it recently and they made it look old by like tea staining the pages.
Did they have a purpose for this? Did they want you to find it?
No, it's just like for their own self.
Yeah,
So they don't live in the family home anymore, do they?
So did
they
parents?
Go there the parents, on a weekend recently?
No,
and
the parents
those
are dead. The parents are dead. Let's just say.
Okay, so the parents are dead.
No, they're not dead. Let's say that they...
Okay, all right. No, let's say that they're dead. Let's say that they're dead.
they're alive, but they live... They left that house because it was like too much to maintain. So they like moved into a condo.
Okay, so the SO lives in the house though.
With you, yeah, you both live there.
Is there sexiness in these diaries?
Yeah, I mean, there it's not like overt. There aren't sex scenes. Let's say it's just like.
But we know in real life these two people have had lots of sex.
Oh yeah,
because they're married.
Yeah.
You don't just marry your sibling because you don't like the sex.
No one married their sibling. This is all in your SO's head. All of the fucked up parts are in your SO's head.
But it's just fic.
It's just fic.
Okay. I think, honestly, writing RPF is a bad sign.
Yeah, already it's kind of bad. Yeah.
Writing RPF about people that you know? Double bad.
I love RPF, and I love RPF of people
creating
you know.
Creating incest where none exists with people you know?
Well, hold on, wait. Is creating incest where none exists for your fic somehow worse than writing incest that was there?
Right. Like, you take a real instance of incest and romanticize
like,
it?
All right.
That feels worse.
I don't know. This whole thing...
It's like, what if she didn't hate being fucked by her brother?
I think you have to ask the questions.
Right.
But I think you are also making plans for where you're going to live once you leave this house.
Yeah. I mean, I think you need to have an exit strategy for sure.
I think you need to ask these questions after you're gone.
By like email.
By email.
these are text messages later.
Yeah, or you've got like police officers in a van listening to the conversation 20
wired.
Yards away.
Well, that's the thing. This isn't illegal.
No, to write
so
RPF? No.
Yeah, and you can't really, and it's like also so embarrassing for him or your or her. Like, you.
Yeah.
It's also not like you can't get a restraining order over this. You can't, I don't know what he's going to tell his parents about why you broke up.
Also, he doesn't have, okay, here's another thing. He doesn't have any siblings, and he's never tried to do any, like, weird, like, things with you, sibling.
What do you mean, like, weird things? Like, make you call him brother?
Yeah, there's no, and, like, to your knowledge, like, this is, like, out of nowhere.
How well written are these diaries?
Pretty well written.
Sort by kudos.
Like, pretty, yeah, like, sort by kudos, it's, like, probably up there. It's like written like really like pretty beautifully, actually.
Is it better or worse that the diaries, the fake diaries are hidden? And so like we can infer that he only wrote them for himself.
Yeah, they're only for him. I don't know. Like better or worse than being on the internet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or better or worse than him like making you listen to him read them aloud.
Yeah. I think when you said real person fic, I really reacted strongly to the sexual. Like,
no shit, Ryan.
That's what I think. It's like, it's all going to be NC-17. It's going to be like
rated
really
teen.
Gross and stuff. Like, so I guess because a lot of people, when they start writing fiction, write what they know.
Right.
And then one of the things I've gotten in class too is like, just change a fundamental element of this thing that's what you know, and then it'll open you up. So like, he took his parents, who are his only family, and then he's like, well, what if they were siblings? And he doesn't know anything about siblings because he doesn't have them.
He's like, so but I know two family members.
Yeah, he's trying to like, I guess it's just a writing exercise, I guess. Because there's
Think that that is a writing exercise?
I think it has to be, because what else is it? Because it's not sexual. I thought he was writing sex scenes between his parents, in which his parents were brother and sister.
Okay, it's probably sexiness level of a V.C. Andrews novel.
Oh.
So it's kind of spicy. Kind of spicy, but not explicit. You know what I'm saying?
Also, do we know for sure that his parents aren't siblings? Like, maybe this is him, like, trying to deal with that revelation.
Do we know for sure?
Say, yeah, okay. To anyone's knowledge, like, I think he knows to the same extent of for sureness that, like, all of us know that our parents are not related.
Right.
Okay. You know like what I mean? Aside from, like, someone doing 23andMe or something, you know?
You ask him, you're like, oh my God, is this, like, based on reality? And his response is like, well, how can anyone be for sure about anything anymore?
Right. Like, what is Are we awake right now? Is this a dream? What is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like, you've heard my simulation theories, right, babe?
Yeah, babe, I've heard those theories. I think it's definitely weird. I guess I'm talking myself off the ledge on this. Because it's mainly just weird, and it's just a writing hobby.
Yeah. I mean, I would think it's pretty fucking sick.
But why?
Personally.
How is it sick? It's just taking, I mean, because people write about people they know all the time.
I guess it's just the idea of, like, making the parents siblings. Like, to me, but there's, like, so many levels.
They inherently become not the parents when you are writing right. fiction about two people and you change something so fundamental.
Right,
the physical
right.
descriptions of them are exactly the same. The like all the other stuff is exactly the same, like their mannerisms, everything like that. And there's like real events that you have. Okay, in the stories, mm-hmm. there's like one recounting of like an event that you were at, and it was like a diary entry of one of the parents, and then like it includes scenes where you were, so like everything is real there, and then it includes scenes of like the parents like going away and like hiding and talking about how they're siblings.
I guess the like
yep, yep
I'm
yep.
picturing these as middle-aged adult people settled into a relationship. How much if you aren't writing the sex scenes,
mm-hmm. I mean, you're writing some
is you are writing sex scenes.
But they're not, like, sexy. You know what I mean? It's, like, fade to black scenes, right? So it's, like, we get a little bit, like, he pulled my top down, and then, like, we did this.
He pulled
this
it down? Was she wearing a tube top?
That's upsetting. He rewrites his mom to be wearing a tube top all the time?
Yeah, the only difference is that her siblings and his mom wear tube tops.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's
almighty.
Weird, but it's... Mm.
It's like who's in control in that situation?
I mean, right. honestly, it sounds like a fucking fascinating book. And you said it was beautifully written.
Really beautifully written.
And it's from the perspective of one of the parents, or does it change perspective throughout?
Changes perspective. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's
so
the other.
It's like two diaries being written, and it has
but they're
completely
separate,
different voice.
Separate books.
Oh, man. So it's like the Twilight Companion book where it's from Edward's perspective.
Yeah.
Midnight
Perfect.
Sun.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe hit your start of this guy's wagon. Like, it sounds like he's going places, writing some cool stuff.
This could be hot fire, and you're about to have a really nice home because he's going to be a literary millionaire.
Yeah. He's the next Nicholas Sparks.
Do you guys want to know what this is from?
This is from something?
I'm hoping it's from a recent trip to Micah's parents' house.
Well, it's like kind of from something. It's like a minor thing. So I was reading this V.C. Andrews book, and it was like, it turns out these parents are siblings. And I was just getting so disgusted thinking about it. And I was in the bedroom, and Micah was in the living room. And he didn't know like what I was doing or anything. And so I like just call out to him. And I was just like, Micah, what would you do if you found out your parents were siblings? And his response was, they're not. And I was like, what?
And let's never talk about it again.
Like, so I was picturing him being like, what did you find? It's not real.
It's much more disturbing or much more of a thing if they are siblings, not that you wrote a novel that no one else is going to read.
Anyway, so that's what that's from.
They're not.
They're not.
Oh,
I just busted
goodness.
Up laughing. I was like, okay. Sounds fake, but okay.
I love the idea of you just shouting commands from the other room.
What would you do if you found out your parents were siblings?
They're not.
Do you ever just like make little challenges for him?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, he has to try and like finish them in interesting and unique ways.
We're talking taskmasterships today.
There we go.
That was it, right?
I see what happened there.
Colin was getting there.
Ryan is off book.
Ryan and I have been watching Taskmaster. It's great. Highly recommend.
It's a British show in which a group of comedians as individual competitors compete to do stupid tasks most effectively.
Each season has the same the same comedians on for the whole season. It's created by Alex Horn and then hosted by Greg Davies, and Alex Horn is the co-host. Mm-hmm. It's really good. I like it a lot.
And you're watching these on YouTube?
You can watch them on YouTube. And it's the official like Taskmaster account, like will upload certain seasons, mm-hmm. but it rotates which seasons are available. So
yeah. Hmm. So if you start, I think right now you could watch like 1 through 7.
And so what's an example of a task we're talking about?
You will like, okay, you will, they all do them. Sometimes they do group tasks, but most of the time they're separate. So they'll just like walk out onto this field and there's like a pedestal. And then on the pedestal, there's like a cookie. And then the note will be like, do something unexpected with this cookie. Most unexpected task wins. Your time starts now. Or it's like, you have 20 minutes. Your time starts now. And then so they just have to do something like really unexpected with a cookie.
So they all masturbate around it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you set us up for an okie cookie. Mm-hmm. Or like one of the ones they had to do, this was a little bit more intense, was they had to make a meal in which they used one thing from every letter of the alphabet.
Hmm.
Yeah, they range in like, and okay. then sometimes they'll do this funny thing. So it's the show has like a mean-spirited, but like not that actually mean-spirited take to it. It's like obviously they just give each other shit a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they'll always pick like one person that they will tell them to do, like that person will think that everybody is assigned this task, but only they had to do it.
Oh no.
And so like one of them was like this guy, this guy who's like very quiet and like reserved, and like his thing is being like awkward and weird. Like that's his brand of comedy. And they give him a bounce house and they're just like, have the most fun in this bounce house. You have 20 minutes. Person with most fun wins. And then, so it's just him like kind of weirdly bouncing around in this bounce house. So it's really funny.
Oh, God.
It's just like very lighthearted and just the kind of thing, the kind of escapism that like I've been wanting.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. And usually, wow. So there are 5 contestants, and usually like one of them finds a way to subvert the task to do whatever it is that they want, you know, do the goal in a really efficient, smart way.
Mm-hmm.
Like in one, they had to carry like, you know, those big exercise balls, those big inflatable balls, had to carry them and a yoga mat to the top of this very windy hill. But there were too many balls. You couldn't take it in one trip. So you could pop the ball or you could smash the ball.
Like, yeah.
It's just fun. It's just fun there's, times.
There's okay. one task, and I think it's season 8, so I won't spoil who wins or anything. But one of the tasks was that Alex Horn was going to be standing like on this bridge that goes across a railway track. So he's like kind of up above, and then they have to start from like pretty far away, and they have to try and approach him without him seeing them. And he every 10 seconds will like go underneath so he doesn't see, and then will like blow a whistle and then come back up 10 seconds and then go down. So they have to like keep track of like when the whistle means that he's looking and when he's not. And so it's just a bunch of them like running around and like trying to like spy, hide. It's very funny.
It's a very goofy, fun show. And like Kelly said, it's great escapism for like everything. You won't think of any current events.
No.
Ever.
You'll just be thinking like, I would really thrive at being on this show. That's what you'll be thinking.
Yeah, sure. You'll be thinking like, oh my God, if I was a Taskmaster, I would do this to my friends and they would love it and hate it. And I would love it all the time.
Yeah, it's great.
So
and
I mean,
it helps you discover like some British comedians that you might not know about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah, it's great.
So we were just denouncing Real Person Fic, but do we have ships from the show? Is that what we're...
Unfortunately, I do.
Mm.
Let's hear it.
But it's a friend. It's I like their.
It's friends.
I
want to
see them
lovers.
Go on a road trip together, and maybe there's only one bed in the hotel. So, no, I want to see them go on a road trip. Like maybe do one of those kind of like road trip shows.
Mm-hmm.
Of
and
Greg
look,
Dave.
There only being one bed in a hotel doesn't mean
That yeah, it's I've not just shared gonna be three a bed.
No, I've shared a bed
before.
With probably all of you guys.
I think so. At this point,
maybe I just meant, at one time.
I just meant in the, you know, in the fic trilogy.
Yes.
Right, right. It could, I mean, but that's the fun of it. You don't know which way is it going to go. Is it going to be like a wacky weekend with friends, or is it going to be like that one episode of Roswell that I saw?
Yeah.
Classic. 285 South, baby.
So this is from season 8, which I don't know if you've seen yet, Ryan. You saw it, right? No, it has Joe Thomas on it.
I saw the beginning of the season, but no worries about spoiling me, or okay. It'll just get me excited. What I have.
So I loved the relationship between Sean Gibson and Greg Davies. Sean Gibson is, she's like a Welsh comedic actress and impressionist. She's so fucking like silly and just like just the personas that both of them bring to the show. I always like when people are like.
Well,
and we
haven't described it for people who haven't seen the show. Greg is kind of a grump.
Yes,
He has a sense of humor. Like he's fun. He's a comedian. He's funny, but his way he is a taskmaster is usually to be grumpy and dismissive and mocking.
Like literally, okay. Sometimes like they'll be like, "Okay, your task." Because at the beginning of each episode, they'll be like, "Your task is to like." There's going to be a prize at the end of this episode. And the prize is going to be we asked each of you to bring in your most your most impressive thing. And then so they would each bring something in, and then the person that wins has to take all of these things home. And so like what, you know, someone would bring in like a selfie of them with like their comedy idol. And then he would just be like, that's horse shit. Like that's a horse shit item. Like he will just straight up, or like, you know, just if he always has like one task, one person that he like kind of picks on each season. And so like he'll just be like, obviously this person's in last place. So it's like kind of jokey. So he's like grumpy but with a sense of humor.
Yes. And after about 5 seasons he gets a beard. And he goes from like being, you know, whatever, good looking, to being like hot.
Yeah,
the beard levels him up.
The beard is a level up for sure.
For sure. Like it truly, I was like, the second I saw him with the beard, I was like, he's so tall. He's so like, like I just love the way he like sits on his throne, because he does sit on a throne and Alex Horn sits on a little throne next to him. And I'm like, just like the way he's sitting on his throne, like he just seems so confident. And like, he's just so like broad and like big. And like, he probably has to buy his clothes at a special store because he's so tall, like that kind of thing from the beard.
But the beard brings it out. Like it's true always, but then the beard makes you really have to face the truth of it.
Yeah, right. I'm looking at pictures of him without the beard. And
oh, don't stop.
Don't.
No, what are you doing? The beard makes so much sense.
Oh, if you ever watched Inbetweeners, he plays the teacher, like the main teacher in that. I don't know if any of us other than me watched Inbetweeners.
So he's like that, right? Sean Gibson is very tiny, red hair. She's very like outgoing and bubbly. And also like, so everyone has different styles for how they approach the tasks, right? Her style of approaching every single task is like, I don't know, fuck it, hope it works. And like, she'll like do something crazy. And half the time it does actually really be successful. But so like, I just love the idea of like this grumpy, you know, person having to like deal with this like very silly and, but both of them are really funny, mm-hmm. like very silly and like outside of the box thinker. I just like the idea of them having to go on a road trip together.
It's like a gender swapped Andy and April from Parks and Rec.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And she's very like, because like literally like, okay, they had this one task where they had like 9 tables in a grid, and there was a bowl, upside down bowls on all of them. And some of the bowls had pink lady apples under them. Some of them had a green ball. One had a green ball. And then some of them had, I don't know, like lemons or something. And so you had to, you couldn't, once you touched a bowl, you had to reveal it. And if you revealed the green ball, you lost. Okay. So like some people, if you looked around, you would see that there were clues that showed you what was under each thing. So different people did different things. Other people found out that if you went under the table, you could see through the slats and see what was under there. Sean's approach was just to randomly pick them up. And she actually like got every single item, and then accidentally the last thing she accidentally got.
Oh no.
Yeah.
But like, so her, that's the way she does things, where she's just like, I'm just going to barrel into it and hope for the best. And he calls her out on it. He's like, so your approach was just fuck it, I hope it works. And she was like, yeah. So I like
that on a road trip is what you need. You need a little of that energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like this a lot.
Yeah. So that's mine.
Do you have one, Patrick?
So I was going to, at first, you know, obviously insane, like Taskmaster ships. I was like, oh, Taskmaster from the Marvel universe.
Right.
And, but like, I didn't really, there's a recent arc in Amazing Spider-Man where he and, Black Ant are doing some stuff together. And I was like, maybe I can ship those two. But then Sarah and I started watching Queen's Gambit last night. There's this janitor guy who plays chess, Mr. Scheibel, and he teaches
Mr. Scheibel.
What's that?
I said I love me some Mr. Scheibel.
I love me some Mr. Scheibel too. And you know, this is one of those dangerous ships where I've only seen two episodes of this show, so like his character could take a severe turn, and I don't actually know what I'm talking about. But the William Scheibel that I know from these first two episodes, I love him, but I feel like he's obviously missing something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he has a skill for chess, he has a passion for it, but, like, you know, he doesn't do anything with it until, like, a little girl, like, comes into his life and, like, demands to be taught how to play chess. And I feel like if he just had someone who gave him a little bit, like, of motivation, who was practiced in making people who are very skillful apply their skills in positive directions, that he would be all the better for it. So I'm shipping him, maybe in not a romantic sense, but certainly in like a mentor slash like a keeper sense, Dasha from Killing Eve. You guys watch season 3 of Killing Eve?
I don't think I've made it to season 3. Is this so this is a new character I wouldn't have seen in the first two?
In the first two seasons. So
tell
Dasha,
me about
I don't think I saw this person.
So she I mean, check out season 3 then. It's up on Hulu now. I think it's only been there for a little bit, but she is like a former gymnast and you know, Russian assassin who like acts as Villanelle's new handler. But she has this like such this cool like disregard for what like Villanelle thinks she wants, and like has like through the course of the season does some like fucked up shit to like get her on the right path to actually achieve the goal she wants to achieve, even though it's going to like hurt Villanelle's feelings. So I think Mr. Scheibel just needs a fucking Russian assassin behind him.
Hell yeah.
To get him like out there and like kicking ass at chess.
Yeah.
Oh, so your vision for him is that he will do the Queen's Gambit himself.
That's right.
Interesting.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say Michelle Pfeiffer from Dangerous Minds, and I was like, this is bad.
That is really bad. Dasha is good.
Dasha's good. Dasha's good.
But here's the problem with the Dasha, and not like a problem with your ship, just I like stirring up drama. Once he's there and he's a master, he's a grandmaster at chess himself, he'll be playing in tournaments in Russia, and she's going to try to turn him into an assassin as well, because that's only life she knows.
That's right. Shit. That's how they can stay together.
Well, she's trying to get back to Russia. Like, she's been in exile the whole time.
Oh.
So, like, part of what she's doing with, like, serving
maybe that's
12.
Why maybe she's using him.
Yeah, she's just using him to...
Because he's going to get to go to tournaments in Russia once he's really good.
And then she's obviously got to go with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then she starts to, like, be super proud of him when he's like, doing really well. And she, finds herself being too connected to his success because she's too connected to him.
100%.
Now, that's is this so like a young Mr. Scheibel who's been discovered, or is this him like post Queen's Gambit?
I don't know. I almost feel like this has to be an AU, because like I think he needs to be a little bit younger than he is.
Maybe he becomes, maybe Dasha, like the experience with Dasha is what leaves him to be a janitor.
Right. Mm. She breaks his heart.
So he has these glory moments and this whole thing, he gets pushed, yes. And then now yes. He's retreated.
He grew too powerful in his chess playing, ruined mm-hmm. too many lives.
And also, like, chess represents, like, the deception that he thought that he was under because he thought she cared about him.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And yep. It explains when he meets Queen Gambit that he's
that's
like...
That's the character's name, yes.
Yes, Queen Gambit.
Gambit, Queen.
Yeah. When he meets her in the basement, he's, like, very, you know, standoffish at first because he doesn't want to become Dasha himself.
Oh, my God.
But
oh my
she's gosh. Too powerful
but
in
she's
the ways
too good.
Of Gambits. Yeah.
Oh, she gambits so hard, that
she
little
gambits
Queen
Gambit. She gambits so hard. The Sicilian. I was following that show. I know what those things are.
It to the extent that a person who doesn't know chess can follow it, which is pretty mm-hmm. far.
Yeah, it's like watching the Keanu Reeves movie, The Replacements, having never watched football. You get the idea.
You get the idea. You do start to expect every movie is going to have a jailhouse dance scene. And then you find out that's not a staple in football.
It teaches us it's not a thing about football, and it's not a thing about cinema. Only like 8% of movies have a jailhouse dance scene.
Have you guys seen Christmas Chronicles?
No.
It has a very intense jailhouse dance scene.
What?
Yes.
What? Really?
Santa goes to jail, and then he uses his Santa magic to turn, I think, little Steven from the E Street Band and The Sopranos is one of the guys who's just like there. And that's when you know there's going to be a musical number, because at first you're like, why are you here?
It's like, wait, why is La Bamba from the Max Weinberg 7 in this scene?
And then they do. They perform and Kurt Russell sings. It's
oh my
wild.
God. Did you like that movie? I heard it was good.
The first one is good. The second one is more of a kid's Christmas movie. So it's mm-hmm. less like something an adult who's alone at Christmas wants to watch.
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. The cartoon elves in the thumbnail is what kept me from watching it this year.
They are the first. They're more in the second movie. The first movie, they are minimal. You barely know about the elves until almost... They're about as much in it as in the Santa Claus. So they're there, mm-hmm. but it's not like... They're not that big a deal.
All right.
But I agree that's the most kiddie element of Christmas Chronicles.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. But it's like... I'll accept if it's just shoehorned in as like a cash grab to try to broaden the demographic.
Yeah, I think it's for little kids. And it's okay. Christmas movies are allowed to be for little kids.
Mm-hmm.
I won't get that mad about it.
Ryan, do you have a Taskmastership?
I do, and it's from something I binge-watched during the holiday. In addition to watching 7 seasons of Taskmaster, I watched a show on Amazon called The Wilds. Have any of you guys sampled that one?
Oh my God, you have told me. I need it. It's my next to watch.
Okay, well, I'll keep it spoiler light, but essentially it's a TV show on Amazon Prime about a group of young women, teenage girls, who are on their way to a female empowerment summer camp on a private jet.
Mm-hmm.
And that private jet crashes in the middle of the ocean and they end up on a deserted island.
Like Lost.
Oh, wow.
Like Lost. It's got some Lost in it for sure. And one of the things that they do that's like Lost, which I really enjoy, is each episode, there's a couple different timelines happening all the time, mm-hmm. but each episode does focus on one of the girls, and you get to see her home life before she got lost on the island. So it's very Lost in that way.
Okay. Interesting.
And one of the girls has kind of, they all obviously, they've all had trauma. That's what we find out unites them all, is that they've all been through some shit before they were trapped on a island starving to death. And one of them, her name is Dot, and she emerges as the leader on the island. She watched a ton of survivalist shows on TV when she was before. She watched Survivor. She watched all these Man versus Wild, all those kinds of shows. So she like knows what you should do when you're trapped on a deserted island. And so she finds herself as kind of the leader on the island, and the leader in terms of like, we should build shelter. Here's how we'll do it. You know, all that stuff. So that's Dot. off the island, she had a tough life, and her dad was her. She's an orphan now. Like, her dad's dead. She's got a tough life. But on island, she's the taskmaster. And then there's Fatten, who is off island, was like a cello prodigy and beautiful. And I mean, she's still beautiful, I guess, but was like the most. Yeah,
her face didn't get all busted up when they crashed.
Totally busted, but she was like queen bee ish of all of these. We just like above it all and all these things. But a lot of what she had to give in terms of popularity and coolness kind of dissipates a little bit when you go on the island, because you're just a person.
You got no need for a cello prodigy on an island.
No, you don't need a cello prodigy popular girl who's really, and she's also, part of her thing is like she loves men and sex. That's kind of reducing her, but that is like part of her thing. Like, that's her favorite hobby.
Is
cello
men sex.
Is like her job, but like fucking dudes is her hobby.
Alright.
And the show doesn't shame her for it. People in the show do sometimes, but like, so essentially her favorite hobby is not available to her. And neither is her day job of celloing.
Gotcha.
And so there's kind of conflict between Dot as like the person who's telling everyone what to do, and Fatten, who is like, I used to be able to tell people what to do, and now I have no skills that are useful here.
Mm-hmm.
So I like their dynamic and how they kind of work through things. I don't know how romantic. I feel like if they fell in love, Dot would get heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of don't want them to fall into deep love in my mind.
Well, can they fall in love on the island, or do they have to fall in love back in civilization?
I think they could find a bond. And also, like, I think Fatten also is like, she's also kind of horny because she's bored. So I feel like she would maybe use Dot, but maybe they could use each other in a way that like they enjoy, and then just think of fondly when they're back on off the island, if they ever get off the island.
Picturing them as Jack and Sawyer. Like, they feel very much
What? That's a great... There is some Jack and Sawyer for sure. But if Jack was less privileged off island, like if Jack had a harder life.
Sure.
So almost more Locke and Sawyer.
You know what? She's totally the Locke of the island. This is a Locke and Sawyer thing. Sorry, Kelly.
It's okay.
But it is. With a little Saeed, because remember, Saeed had skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's the thing. I guess I was picturing Jack just because Jack made his whole character about controlling what the other islanders do. Whereas like Locke had like a different life off island, but on the island, he kind of fucks off and does his own thing. Like, he'll grab Boone and make Boone his puppet, but the greater population of the island, he couldn't give two shits about, because Locke was very like a singular individual.
No, definitely Dot is, if someone was going to be like inheriting the island, I would definitely look to Dot as person who would be.
So it's a Hurley Sawyer thing?
Well, the Hurley island inheritance is way late game. So.
Yeah, they test a lot of other people first.
You guys know I am endgame only.
So that's my ship. I'm sorry for talking about something you guys haven't seen.
How is it? Is it good?
I loved it. It's like, that's kind of a genre that I enjoy. Like the show The Society on Netflix, or The Island, or like there have been a few other things where it's like, kind of sci-fi / supernatural plus a bunch of teenagers on an island on their own figuring it out. I think it does a really good job of letting these teenage girls be three-dimensional characters with flaws and complications, and aren't, they may be pawns of someone, bum, 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 but they're not.
Uh-oh.
But it's not like the patriarchy. It's like you get to take away a lot of this dumb stuff society does to people and then lets people be human. But I don't want to spoil any more, but it is good. It is worth seeing. And then when you finish it, you'll probably be ready for season two. So
nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Colin, did you tell us a taskmastership?
Not yet. Are you guys ready to hear one?
I am.
I don't know,
cool,
man.
Very cool, very normal response. Yeah.
I thought my pitch, my like softball toward you was like very appropriate.
It was but super.
If
I could have just
offended,
been like,
I'm sorry.
No. I could have been like, sure haven't, but here she comes.
Down for the count and running out the door. Here I go.
two opposing actions being down for the count and running out the door.
Oh yeah.
But mine comes from the classic teen romp Can't Hardly Wait.
Yay.
The Taskmaster in this movie, she wants one simple thing from everybody, but nobody wants to play along because, you know, it's their last night being high schoolers and they're all just doing their own side story. Most of them don't even have names, including her. I'm talking about the uncredited Melissa Joan Hart as Yearbook Girl.
She's uncredited?
Yearbook Girl is uncredited.
She was probably the most famous person in that movie at the time.
Yeah, I think it was like kind of and supposed to be Hitchcockian. Like it's like sure. What a twist that
we got
the teenage witch to be in our movie. Although I kind of remember her from the trailer, but maybe I'm inventing that. But anyway, so Melissa Joan Hart plays Yearbook Girl, and she's running around and constantly just wants people to sign her yearbook, and she wants to get everybody at the party because these memories are the memories that we have to preserve for the rest of our lives. And like, you can't recreate high school, which, you know, some people would say like that's really a major through line of the movie. You've got the Mike Dexter storyline where he's like the hero of high school trying to hang on to that glory.
Yeah.
And then it's like, obviously, you know, the popular jocks are going to be the ones who like fall short and they're not cool in college and they never like live up to that glory. And I don't think that that's what Melissa Joan Hart is after. She just wants to capture these moments in time so she can treasure them for what they were. As is the case of Reminiscing Guy. Do you guys remember this character?
From Can't Hardly Wait?
Yes.
I'm trying to think of this guy.
So Reminiscing Guy, he like always wants to tell stories about the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
He goes up to the main character while he's trying to hit on Melissa Joan Hart and like tells a story about how he duked his pants or whatever. But like that's his whole thing, is he wants to reminisce. The movie ends, everybody's storyline is concluded, and it ends with Yearbook Girl and Reminiscing Guy discovering that they have this common interest.
This is a canon ship.
This is a canon ship. I want to emphasize that I think they should stay together forever because she's, as we see her, she has a plan and she insists that other people follow that plan. A bit of a taskmaster, if you will.
Good. Now we see how we got here.
Yep. I think that Reminiscing Guy is in grave danger of becoming a Mike Dexter in his own right, but not because he was like mega popular and is like scared that his life will never live up to his, you know, quote unquote peak when he was a teenager, but just that he has too much fun in the past. And it's like truly his hobby and his passion is just like, you know, reliving things that have already happened to him. And without Yearbook Girl, he could get stuck in that loop. But I imagine that she's like goal-oriented and, you know, has projects for him and encourages him to push his boundaries and is, like, totally there to remember the good times and preserve them, but keeps him moving forward and, being a productive adult.
What she does is she acts as, like, an archivist, right? Mm-hmm. That she can be, like, we collect these stories and they come from the past. They're not where we are now.
Yes, we have to keep making more memories.
Yeah, she wants to make an entire scrapbook of the summer after senior year.
Yep.
That means you got to start doing some stuff.
And he's going to be in every picture.
Yeah.
They're so sweet. So that's my ship.
I love this.
Yearbook Girl and Reminiscing Guy.
Thank you for reminding me of that final moment in that movie.
Do they start making out, or are they just like into each other?
I cannot. Honestly, I'm having a hard time remember. I feel like they're in the diner, like sharing a basket of fries. Like, remember the next morning when everyone's kind of nursing their hangover.
Oh, remember when Mike is so mean to the nerd?
Mm-hmm.
And he thought they were friends?
Oh. Yeah, because they shared a moment, and Mike, like, shares his insecurities about, like, what's going to happen to him after high school. And then the nerd reaches out to him and offers him something, you know, more substantial in the friendship, but he falls back on the, you know, I'm a jock bully trope. And then we get the lower third that says that, like, he grows up to be a loser.
Yeah, which he deserves.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that movie.
It's a fun one.
Patrick.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Two relationships. Anyone can call for that.
No, you do it always.
You it's do it, and if we have an awkward years. Silence, it's because Patrick did not say his line on time.
Holy shit. Hey, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.